CliffCentral.com.
It's a Monday morning. We've got just a little bit of the month of October left, and then it is November.
And basically and Christmas.
December. And then it's a new year, a new decade.
Oh, let's hope there's some space for rest in between before we think of the new decade.
Yeah, well, that's all I'm thinking about is like just a couple of days at home doing nothing will be so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the weekends, they seem so short. I know some people manage to do that thing where they just relax and do nothing. I sometimes find that a little bit difficult to do. I get a bit frustrated. I feel like I need to be doing something. I'm guilty if I'm not busy.
Yeah, there's also the risk of becoming a little too introspective.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of distracting yourself with other people's frivolities.
Right. And don't become too introspective because you might not like what you find.
Right, exactly.
All right, so we got a couple of things to talk about this morning. First of all, have a suggestion from somebody here. They say that we need to absolutely address and talk about, this is from Mpitleng, who says, we need to comment on the tragic story of human trafficking in the UK where people died in fridges in a truck. They were trafficked from countries like Vietnam for cheap labor in the UK. Apparently, one of the girls in that van sent her mother a text message to say, I don't think I'm going to survive, and send love to the family and everything. So she knew she was going to die, which is just so awful. You imagine, and this is happening not in some far-flung country in the world where, you know, where no one has any communication and we don't know what's going on and it's primitive and there's no infrastructure. Mm. This is in the UK. This is in the east of London, where they discovered this truck with all these dead people in it. It's just outrageous that this should be happening. It really is very scary. I don't know what else to say about it in Pitlane, but that's kind of it's a really important story just from the point of view of human trafficking. And if you want to hear a series on human trafficking, you need to listen to Humans for Sale, which is a podcast series that we did here in association with Pembani. There's an organization in South Africa that has a lot to do with human trafficking, the fact that we're actually both a supplier country and in some cases even a buyer country for trafficked humans. And you need to listen to the series to actually see how deep and how evil and wretched this problem is. So I'd suggest if you want to hear more, that's the place to start.
Sure.
Yeah. What else is going on, Leanne Moll?
Well, there's a very unlikely home of a thriving serval population in South Africa.
Serval is a cat. Right?
Yes, a wild cat. And it's in one of the towns that we listed as one of the worst to live in South Africa.
Oh, yeah?
In Secunda.
Oh, really?
Yes.
They've got a thriving serval population. At least someone's thriving in Secunda.
It all started about 20 years ago. That Sasol's resident ecologist Dan Locke first heard one of the staff at the firm saying, I think I just saw a cheetah. Obviously, he knew that there were no cheetahs in Secunda, but mysterious cat sightings kept on piling up, and he knew that he had to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
So he set up his first camera traps in 2010, and he figured out that cats glimpsed by factory workers when the smoke breaks and the night shifts came along.
Mm-hmm.
So they would wait for these quieter times to come out. They are a lot shyer than their cheetah cousins.
And they're nocturnal, right?
That's right, yeah. So if you think about it, they're spotted creatures. They are about the size of, if you're looking at a dog breed, a whippet.
Okay.
So
they're bigger than a house cat.
Definitely.
But smaller than a cheetah.
And very, very dainty.
Mm.
A
serval, S-E-R-V-A-L.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the reason why it's quite important, according to this conservationist, is that it shows that humans and animals can exist in quite, you know, terrible environments in terms of pollution.
So you're saying Secunda's horrible. That's what you're saying.
Well, maybe.
Because there's a lot of pollution there and, you know, there's this huge big power plant.
The fact that they're able to grow and
coal
thrive
refinery. Yeah.
At this coal liquefaction process place is just amazing.
Well, there's a good thing. Well done. Let's give Secunda a round of applause. I didn't think this would happen, but congratulations, Secunda.
Clicks, clicks.
Oh, okay, you've got to do clicks. Is clapping still too aggressive?
No, it's just because I was holding my laptop with one hand and couldn't clap.
Okay. Is there a reason you're holding it up?
Because I showed you a picture.
Okay, you can put it down now.
I can put it down now.
She's going to hold it the whole
sometimes
day.
Sometimes life's hard, you know.
So servals, huh? Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
That's always good news. When we can find a thing like that out of an unlikely situation like Secunda and conservation in Secunda, that's amazing.
I think so. Least place you'd expect.
Yes.
For a conservation effort.
That's right.
To be taking place.
All right. What else have you got for us?
Well, the world's first no-kill eggs go on sale in Berlin.
No-kill eggs?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Okay. So if you think about it like this, a chick's sex can be determined only after it hatches.
Yeah.
But this now means that chick's sex can be determined before it hatches, potentially ending the culling of billions of males.
Oh, I see. So you know, they don't want, particularly if it's an egg-laying farm, they don't want male chickens. What's the point? You only need one or two males to fertilize all the females. So they would just kill all the male chicks?
So exactly that. So the patented selected process can determine the sex of a chick just 9 days after it's been fertilized. Hmm. Male eggs are processed into animal feed, leaving only female chicks to hatch at the end of the 21-day
processed
incubation.
Processed into animal feed.
Period.
I can only imagine how horrible that is. Ugh. All right.
Mm. So if you can determine the sex of a hatching chick, you can entirely dispense with the culling of live male chicks.
Oof.
And that's been a 4-year program that's been in the making in Germany and is now going to be started off in a German supermarket in Berlin.
All right. Well, good. We don't need to be murdering unnecessarily, right?
Exactly. An estimated 4 to 6 billion male chicks are slaughtered globally every year because they serve no economic purposes.
Shame. This stuff's going on. One day, I'm telling you, one day people are going to look back. They're going to say these human beings are such monsters.
Such savages.
You know, now...
I mean, these chicks, some of them are suffocated.
Yeah.
Others are fed alive into these grinding and shredding machines. Processed into reptile food.
Oh.
It's just, when you look at the logistics and the actual nitty-gritty.
Oh, humans.
We're doing horrible things to animals.
And I promise you one day that there will be trials held and people will be punished criminally for what we do to animals. But at this stage, it's still okay. Now, it's going on all over the world, and it's perfectly okay.
And you might, because the question I had was, but can't we just eat the male chicks?
Hmm.
But apparently they don't grow fast enough to justify the cost of feeding them.
Jesus, that's horrible.
And fattening them up for meat.
That is so horrible. Half of the species just gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Every generation.
Mm.
Huh.
Man, it's not good.
Disgusting. All right, Gugu went to Spain. He went there. You went on a car trip? It was like a...
Yeah, it was a car trip. It was the WRC, which is World Rally Championship.
Oh, right.
So Toyota invited me over there and said, my son, come along. Come see what
they
we got.
They said my son. Yeah, it's very nice. Someone had to call you that.
Yeah.
So rally is the dirt road.
Yeah, rally is off-road. It's off-road and on-road, but it's that wild off-road
World stuff. Rally Championships. I went in a rally car out near the East Rand somewhere once with a professional driver. It's one of the insane things you can do. I thought I was going to die the whole time. You go around hairpin bends at 200
sideways.
Kilometers. It's just, it's insane.
It's crazy.
But what an the adrenaline rush is. Next level. You get out at the end and you're shaking like this. It's so much fun. And those guys really know how to drive.
So there's the driver and then there's the navigator.
The navigator, in my opinion, those dudes are probably the best drivers in the world.
For
honestly,
sure.
Hands down.
Without a doubt. Mm. So where did they do this?
So, I mean, this was a Spain round of it. So I went to, it was in Barcelona, Catalonia.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was amazing. Like being in a foreign country.
Were you in Barcelona?
Yeah,
Barcelona. A beautiful city.
It's such a beautiful city.
Oh, people there are just so next level human.
Dude.
I know I used that term earlier, but to my mind, the amount of just pure civilization in Barcelona is unbelievable. Other cities, you could never walk around at 10 o'clock at night with your kids.
And we were doing that over there. Grocery stores at 10 p.m. are still open. And people are buying.
And people are eating on the street, and it's just clean, and everyone takes so much pride in their space and everything. Beautiful.
Love that city.
Oh, it's great.
And you know, the crazy thing, what blew my mind about that city is, I remember the one morning, it was 8 in the morning, 8 o'clock, and it was still pitch dark. Sun hadn't come out. Like, it's, I've never seen that before. So because of that, they start really late.
We have siestas in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah,
that's good.
Crazy.
We should have that in this country.
We should have that.
People start are so stressed.
Yeah, Gareth, Cliff Central.
I was caught in, where was I? Seville at the time, in the middle of a heat wave. It was 45 degrees. We'd driven from Portugal, and we arrived during siesta time, which I think is 12 to 2. We couldn't get a cold drink. We couldn't get any food.
Everything was closed.
There was no air con, so we had no relief. We just had to continue driving with the air con on. Eventually, we found a bakery that was open. The doors were open, but they weren't selling anything. And so we stood in the bakery looking at the food through the glass without being able to buy it, but at least it was cool.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's
it's very disruptive, the siesta. I mean, unless you have been culturally ingrained in it for so long.
Yeah, I just like the idea. You know, sometimes you have...
So do I, Gareth.
You have those days, I can tell, you're a big fan. You have those days where you just need a 20-minute, 40-minute power nap in the afternoon. And then you can carry on with your day. You can be massively productive. And if you don't have it, you're just going to be tired the whole time.
The whole time.
When you're falling asleep at your desk, it's the worst.
I know.
It's even worse if you're falling asleep at the steering wheel.
You've told me to go home and sleep before.
I have.
Yeah.
Because I can see when you're useless, and it happens to all of us. No, it happens to all of us.
I was going to say it happens often.
Well, no, everybody gets tired. Some people just handle it better. And this was one day in particular where Gugu was just finished. I don't know what he'd been doing.
Yeah,
he was tired.
It was after pure conversation, I think. The day after, I was like,
right.
I can't.
So I just said to him, go home. No point in you hanging around here. You're falling asleep while you're talking to me. He would start snoring. He would stand there in the door, and he would be going, oh, nom, 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 nom.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I've snored asleep before with my eyes open.
You have?
Mm.
Sure. Do you know what the best feeling is? And I had some of this yesterday when I was having an afternoon nap. This is why the Spanish are clever.
Yeah.
You know that feeling where you're just falling in and out of sleep?
Oh, dude.
And it's dreamy, and it's a bit weird, and you're like, you almost have...
So hazy.
It's so nice.
I love it.
It's the best feeling. All right, well, coming up in a little while, we're going to speak to John Sotirales, who is with Woodrock, and Cry to Toy, who's a comedian, about Woodrock Animal Rescue.
Have
you heard about them?
I know them well.
Yeah, they're a leading non-profit pro-life rescue, rehabilitation, and rehoming shelter here in South Africa. How do you know about them?
Well, because I'm just that animal person.
Mm-hmm.
Also because I met Estelle, who started Woodrock purely by chance. I had a stray animal in my area and knew that she ran something from her home at that time, and she helped me out. And since then, she's gone on to develop this really amazing animal shelter. She is extremely active on social media in her personal capacity as well as in Woodrock's in finding animals' homes. She has this uncanny ability to match a homeless dog or pet with a human.
Amazing.
In terms of personality. She can read the personality of the animal and read the personality of the adoptive parent. And she's made amazing matches over the years. And also there's a bonus. If you do go to visit Woodrock, you're greeted by these little donkeys, these stray donkeys.
Oh, yeah?
Who come from far away when they see your car arriving just to greet you.
I think you've told me about these.
Amazing experience.
Beautiful. I like that.
That's... wouldn't let me get back in my car, though, and I got a little scared. I had an ass in my ass. But, yeah, it was just I feel happy when I go there, not sad.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you about a special comedy night they're going to have, which is obviously a fundraiser for Woodrock Animal Rescue. And we'll talk to two of the guys from there in a little while, find out all about them. In other news, can you please tell me what this Vasio Flace is? You know, we had that song, Damas, Seme Vatjonamas, My Namas Adrianus, which everybody was singing. And when you get that stuck in your head, it just doesn't leave.
Well, this is, I found it on the weekend. It seemed to have been posted on the 25th, so just 2 days ago. It's the official music video for Vase Your Fleece by a group called Yan Yan Yan, because they're three Yan, Yans.
Yan. Oh, they're called Yan Yan Yan. Oh, okay, I got you.
And it's quite a long video, but it's made into like a bit of a story as well. And I just think the quality is amazing, and I had a lot of laughs. There are these two tunnies in the beginning
and
end.
If anybody's wondered what Leanne listens to when she's at home on her own over the weekend, this is it.
And it's all about these short boere shorts.
Oh, right.
Kooti. Dis die wys jou vleisbroekie. Ha? Kan jy dink 'n man soos Eben Etzebeth met daai bene?
Nee, dis jou vleis uit kan wys.
Heerlikheid. Ag, fooi tot jy raaks sommer aan borsdag.
Aan borsdag.
Hierdie ene noem hulle die DKW broekie.
DKW.
Ja, man, dans werk en kerk.
Ag, heeldag se pret.
Vir my man se hulle ideaal wees want hy's 'n regte pastorie piesantjie.
O, heeldag pret.
Maar ek sien die grop is oop, hou net so 'n bietjie vas. Voordat 'n lelike ding sy kop uitsteek.
Die lelike ding sy kop uitsteek.
Two horny old women.
Is dit Christian van Yan Direction?
Ja, hulle is net hier buitekant die dorp, besig om 'n musiekvideo te skiet.
Direction.
Oh, ja.
Okay, kom ons kyk gou. Dit is 'n patjie sukkel hierdie.
This is a whole like.
Yeah, it's a whole story okay. Before it.
These two tunnies are just desperate for like some fleece.
Yeah. And they're talking about Yan Direction, which is the band, which is now Yan Yan Yan.
Okay, so this is the three guys. And they're wearing Vase Your Fleece broeke.
And they've got nice legs.
Yeah, you'd have to have nice legs to wear those very short shorts. That's Long Yan. Then there's Klein Yan. And there's Fris Yan. Jesus, alright, I can't listen to this. This is too much.
Okay, first of all, guys, what are they talking about? Like,
okay,
what's
we'll
the whole
help you.
Gist of the thing?
So, they're talking about these short shorts that a lot of Afrikaans guys wear.
I've seen them.
Right, where you basically, it squeezes your package and you show off, you vase your fleece.
Oh, you show off your fleece.
Your skin.
Yeah, there we go.
The meat.
So it's three, it's Fris Yan, Klein Yan, and Long Yan.
Long Yan.
What a lot of fun. There's always something new.
And then there's a whole thing at the end as well with the woman, which is quite funny. So
go watch the music video.
Yeah.
We'll
I quite enjoyed that. I found it purely by accident.
And we'll put a link up on cliffcentral.com later for you when you're at work and you're meant to be working and you can watch Klein Yan in Fris Yan in Long Yan. And then if anyone asks, you can blame it on us.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, did you hear this ridiculous story that Woolworths made some like tog bags or something, like gym bags, but they were in blue and white and orange. Those are the colors of the bags. And suddenly...
Blue, white, orange.
Gosh.
Yeah, and suddenly people were like, ah, but it's the old flag. And people freaked out because they said it's the old flag. Now, you know, the Metro Police cars in Joburg, the JMPD cars are orange, white and blue. And no one's going, oh, it's the apartheid era flag. No one's freaking out. There are a lot of really stupid people in this world.
Half of the stuff is... imported from overseas.
Exactly. They don't know. You think the people who made that went, yeah, let's make a bag with the old colors of the flag so that we can entrench.
In fact, this is Country Road, Australia.
Thank you. Dummies.
Oh,
we've got dumb people in this world who really just don't know. They think everything's about them.
They just want to react, Gareth. That's all.
They're just obsessed.
Still waiting for shit to pop off.
And, you know, there was someone complaining about, like, South African supporters... at the rugby in Japan.
Yeah.
And they said that there was this guy with this old flag. It wasn't the old flag. It was the new flag. And people are so dumb, they just want to get upset. They want to be outraged and offended. And they find reasons for it. Just shut your dumb mouth when it comes to this stuff, please, and stop embarrassing the rest of us.
Jeez.
And I can find you a million things that are like the old flag, including some of our sunsets.
I think I've got a beach towel that looks like this bag.
Oi, don't take it to the beach. You'll be called a racist, you know? Wow, some people are dumb. It just it drives me up the wall when I read about stories like this. You almost cannot believe the level of ridiculous stupidity that some people are capable of.
Mm.
All right.
So some not so great news is that Elton John is very ill.
Oh, no, but his movie just came out.
Well, apparently he's just taken to Instagram this weekend to saying he'd have to cancel his Indianapolis concert.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour.
Oi.
He said, "It's with the heaviest heart I'm forced to deliver the news that I am extremely unwell and therefore unable to perform. I'll make it up to you, etc." So, yeah, you just got to keep your ears open on this one, I suppose.
Well, do you think this means like he's dying? Well, I hate to be the only one to say it, but that's what I'm thinking. He says extremely unwell.
Yeah.
See, that
doesn't sound so good.
No, that's very worrying.
Did you guys hear about? Well, I saw it. There was this accident on William Nicol on Saturday morning.
No, what happened?
Like, a truck and a taxi at this intersection were like head on, but the truck was lying sideways, and a helicopter had to land in that intersection. Obviously, to get someone out of there who was on the brink of death.
Oh, my God.
That's how bad it was.
Mm.
Like the traffic on Saturday was stupid on that road.
I don't like that.
Yeah, neither do I. But
there was an accident on the way in this morning, and there was like a bucky on its roof. I just don't know how.
This, like so early in the morning?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it could be anything.
Dude.
It could be a swerving for an animal or a human.
Oh, just keep your eyes open, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you're a little bit worried about, have you noticed how many more cameras there are in our residential areas?
What do you mean? Like
street cameras.
Oh, yeah, I have. I actually noticed a lot of these in New York as well.
Yeah.
But then it suddenly occurred to me, we also have a bunch of them. I know in the CBD, they've got big camera setups everywhere.
Even on the highways, have you seen?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So what's the story?
Well, in Chicago in particular, a man has come up with this mask, like an anti-surveillance mask that you can wear.
Yeah.
If you are uncomfortable with surveillance cameras being on you the whole time.
Right.
So this is like identity replacement tech. And it's in the form of a personal surveillance identity prosthetic, which gives you a whole new face.
Oh, so that they can't identify you? Because this has obviously been a problem with the Hong Kong protesters, right?
Well, not only that, but some people are just...
No, you're right.
No, I'm okay now. Some people are just paranoid about having different faces. So they are making sort of well-known faces as well, but if you want something generic, you can. It looks almost like... Remember that prisoner who escaped... as his daughter, and wore that horrible mask where your eyes go all squidgy and weird.
Yeah, I don't want to wear a mask like this the whole time just so I don't get identified. And also, what have I got to hide?
Yeah, exactly, because now you look like you got something to hide.
Again, this is where I don't understand. I mean,
Leanne,
who's going to be interested in some 40-something-year-old woman walking around with her pick and pay packets?
I heard this, like Leanne the other day was saying, and she always says this, like, go for my Gmail or whatever, go look at my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, it's all information I'm giving up anyway, and if I didn't want you to know it, I shouldn't be sharing it. And she says, you're not going to find anything incriminating. I mean, most of the stories Leanne has told about her life are like public already.
They've been laid out bare anyway.
Yeah. So she's saying, don't worry about it. And I kind of agree. We're all uptight about our privacy. But I do think in a place like Hong Kong, where you know the police and the government are going to go after people who are protesting, if you're part of a group of protesters, you want to keep your identity secret.
Mm.
I think it's just so weird. Have you seen these deep fakes?
Who?
Deep fakes?
Yeah, deep fakes that they're busy. They get these impersonators and they actually just change. They morph their faces into the faces of the people who are being impersonated.
Like using makeup?
No, it's CGI, but it is unbelievable. Like you'll go from Jim Carrey to Tom Cruise to Anthony Hopkins. Oh, it's very scary. And you can now, there are even apps that you can download to do it with your own face.
Sure.
So you can morph into these other people who you're trying to impersonate. And it's just the scariest thing because you're going, whoa, 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 wait. I think that's actually, you know, Tom Cruise. And then it morphs back out and you're like, what? Because your brain is not, it's not computing
how
this person's face can actually change.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Scary. Yeah, well, it's cool, but it's also terrifying because it shows you what the future might hold.
Mm-hmm.
We may be able to wear things like that. You could wear some kind of a mask and it would actually change your facial features. You could be a different person.
Imagine.
Now, that's scary.
Criminalia.
Uh-huh. Criminalia. Is that what you're going to call it?
Okay.
All right.
It's too much for my brain.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to throw in?
There was a woman in Arkansas in the U.S.
Arkansas? Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Who lost her father. He died and she couldn't let go of this. So she used to text his phone every day, which was quite therapeutic for
her. Okay, so she just kept his cell phone and she kept the number going.
No, she just texted the number.
Okay? Oh, so she never, she just left his phone out. All right.
Yeah. And she would text him just every day about what went on in her life that day and how much she misses him, etc. And she did this for about 4 years, okay? And just recently, she sent a message on the night before the fourth anniversary of his death. And she said, "Hey, Dad, it's me. Tomorrow's going to be a tough day again."
Mm-hmm.
She then received a response.
What? Oh, my God.
She received a response. So the messages that she sends are talking about how she beat cancer, how she's been taking care of herself better, like she promised her father she would. She talks about how she finished college, graduated with honors, that she'd fallen in love and had her heart broken. "You would have killed him," she said. "I'm sorry I wasn't there when you needed me the most," etc. The response read, "Hi, sweetheart. I'm not your father, but I have been getting all your messages for the past 4 years.
Wow.
I look forward to your morning messages and your nightly updates. My name is Brad, and I lost my daughter in a car wreck in August 2014, and your messages have kept me alive. When you text me, I know that it's a message from God. I'm sorry you lost someone so close to you, but I've listened to you over the years and have watched you grow and go through more than anyone. I've wanted to text back for years, but I didn't want to break your heart. You're extraordinary. Your father would be very proud of you, etc. And I think like small anecdotes like P.S. I think your father would be happy to know you bought another dog instead of having children. Take care, and I look forward to your updates tomorrow."
Jeez, what a thing to happen. But I mean, her messages couldn't have gone to a more relevant guy.
Exactly.
Things, you know? That's so, imagine though, getting a reply from your dead dad 4 years later.
It's
giving me the creeps.
Weird.
All right. Well, I spoke about this just earlier. Leanne knows about them. Woodrock is an animal rescue place. They run a leading non-profit pro-life rescue, rehabilitation, and rehoming shelter here in South Africa, and they provide assistance to unfortunate, homeless, abused, neglected, stray, injured, ill, geriatric, and unwanted animals. And they would otherwise have miserable lives, premature deaths, animals who have no voice of their own. And I know Leanne is very, very passionate about this. She thinks that we should spend most of our time and our money on causes like this rather than on human causes, because humans, even if they have nothing else going for them, they can still express themselves. They can still be heard. There are still other humans who are responsible for them or who could be responsible for
them. And essentially, it is a human cause because it's helping animals who are in the position they're in because of humans.
Well, let's welcome to the show this morning John Sotirales. Have I got that right?
It's correct.
Okay, thank goodness. I was so nervous about getting it wrong. Cry to Toy is the comedian. How are you doing, man?
Oh, good.
So you guys are putting on a Woodrock Animal Rescue Comedy Night.
That's right. When's that?
30th. Oh, so it's happening this week already.
It's happening this week, yeah.
You have to roll up and get your tickets. So 200 rand a person. It's at Parker's Comedy and Jive in Monte Cassino. And doors open at 6 p.m. The show starts at 8 p.m. There are prizes for best dressed. Are we not dressing up as animals, please? Huh? That would be a bad idea. Yeah. Okay.
It's Halloween. You can dress as a werewolf.
No, that could be quite fun. All right. And tickets are available at Quicket. The lineup includes Dylan Oelifant, Glenn Beedham and Pam, Cry de Toy, and Richelieu Benoit.
Benoit, yeah. He's got a French.
Never heard of him. Okay. Yeah. Who's he?
I don't think he works with the brandy company, but...
Oh, okay. It doesn't work for the brandy company. All right, so tell me a little bit about Woodrock quickly, John. Tell me what happens there and how it all started.
You summed it up well. The three R's, rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome.
Okay.
Those are the main functions of Woodrock.
Yeah, and where do you get most of your support from?
Mainly from the public.
Okay,
mainly.
So people make donations.
Yes, we approach people in malls, expos, functions like the one that just mentioned now,
yeah.
To raise funds for these.
Must cost a lot of money because animals need feeding. They need a place to stay.
The vet care,
which is massive. Yeah.
Good point. Medicinal bill alone is $300,000 a month.
My God.
Mm. We have over 400 animals that we look after at our facility.
Where are you guys based?
At Hennops, Hennops Valley.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit out of Pretoria.
It's in Centurion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So tell me about this comedy night. How did you guys come to work with Woodrock? How does that all happen?
Well, they phoned us and asked us if we could help them out. And I've got two dogs. I love dogs.
What kind of dogs you got?
I've got a Chow and a Shar Pei mix, which is a Chow Pei. I don't know what it is really. It's just skin on with two legs running to you like blah, blah, blah. But I love my dogs because my dogs, I don't know. My wife can be angry with me for weeks, but my dog can be angry for me for 5 seconds.
No, they forgive you. It doesn't matter. They're always happy to see you.
I wish my wife was like that. I wish I could just give my wife a treat and she's like, problem solved.
I know.
There is a treat. It's called money.
It doesn't always work like that. I don't know.
All right, so you guys decided to do this. Are the rest of the guys also into animals? Is this their, you know, do they care about these animals that need rehabilitation and rescue?
No, of course I think they do. Yeah. I don't speak to them like every day on animal topics, but.
But you guys would be donating your time.
Yeah, we're donating
so
our time.
They wouldn't do this if they weren't.
No, of course.
Okay, well, that's very nice. So let's just talk quickly about what actually happens here, because these NPOs, these non-profit organizations, are very difficult to run. And you always have too little money, and you always have to ask for more the whole time. And a lot of people get annoyed. It's a tough life to live, and it's a tough thing to do, to be constantly asking people for money. And a lot of people say, well, why should we help animals when there are people who need the help, right? So what do you say to them?
It's a good point. Again, we were at a recent expo. We had a cancer organization right next to us.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Sandton.
Mm-hmm.
Their return for that day was negligible,
mm-hmm.
whereas the animals, we made a massive turnover.
Excellent. I mean, I don't feel sorry for the cancer people, but I do kind of think that you can't compare apples and bananas here. They're two different things. And there are plenty of people who are going through all kinds of struggles and difficulties in their life. And it's not worth saying, well, the animals don't deserve help because the humans do, or vice versa. It just doesn't matter. People can give to whatever they want to give, right?
True.
Yeah.
My personal feeling is humans have had their... They have the intelligence, they have the chance to sort out their own lives. Whether you abuse those chances or not,
mm-hmm.
animals are being given the chance. That's where I think the difference is.
Yeah, except they can't communicate either, like we can. It's very, very difficult. So you guys have got this lovely place. It costs you a fortune to run it, but you have 400 animals.
Plus, yeah.
Jesus. Mm. What do you have? Mostly canines, mostly dogs?
Mostly canines, okay. But we cater for all animals. Okay. Our facilities.
Wild animals as well?
Let's keep it non-wild, okay. Sure. Not any of the big five.
Some of those cats are a bit wild. The feral ones.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
But and spicy.
And how many times have you been out there, Nihan?
I've been out 3 times, I think.
She says every time she goes there, there are donkeys that run up to say hello.
Are they still there?
Donkeys are interesting. We've rescued, I think, 13 in the last 2 months.
Wow.
Mainly because they are now on the extinct list. The Chinese have a preference for them. But it's a good example of our rehoming program. We have a facility or program where we register the public as heroes. Mm. We give them a certificate. They mm-hmm. get more involved with what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And as a hero, if they see any abuse of any animal anywhere, they can call us. We will respond. We are proactive. We will go out and attend to the rescue. What we did with the donkeys, we notified our heroes that this is the situation. They've been rescued. Those who had small holdings and farms, took the full allocation of donkeys.
So what sort of space would I need if I wanted?
Leanne wants a donkey.
Because I'm thinking of buying. I'll even buy the properties next door to me. I just really want a donkey.
They'll have to come and check you out properly. All right. So listen, it's all happening at the Woodrock Animal Rescue Comedy Night. Rather, it's 200 rand a person. Make sure you get your tickets. And Cry, thank you very much for what you guys are doing. Very, very nice stuff. And I hope it is a tremendous success. Starts at 8 p.m. That's when the show starts. There are prizes for best dressed. Tickets at Quicket. And it's got Dylan Olifant, Glenn Biederman, Pam, Cry de Toy, and Richelieu Bounoir. All right. Very good.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you very much. And John, good luck with all the rest of the work that you guys do. It's tremendous stuff.
Thank you very much.
Needs all the support it can get. Okay. We got 21 minutes until 8 o'clock this morning, so a couple of things we still want to get through and some news stories, some things we want you to hear about. And big thank you to Anthea for popping in earlier. If you missed the money shot, you can always get a podcast of that by going to cliffcentral.com. In fact, you can get podcasts of everything by going to cliffcentral.com. All right, Leanne, what else have you got for us this morning?
Where am I?
I don't know. It's Monday morning.
Okay.
You want me to help you? Have you forgotten?
I'm just trying to get my computer lined up again. Okay. So apparently there's a scam that's been targeting Americans over the phone and has resulted in millions of dollars lost to hackers.
Oh, yes?
So what happens is you receive a call that seems very credible from your bank.
Yeah.
And
is this the Russians?
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's apparently like a type of phishing scam. In the last year, about 26,500 people have been reported being a victim of some sort of these phishing scams. Together, they reported nearly $50 million in losses. That's according to the FBI's Internet Crime Report. So you receive this kind of credible phone call, and within a matter of minutes, the person being called realizes that they've handed over the keys to their account, basically.
Jesus, that doesn't sound good.
Leaving people frustrated.
Have you ever had a serious phishing attempt on your account?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever been close to giving away account information to someone and suddenly realized it was not a good idea and stopped yourself?
I sometimes put in my password when I'm, you know, for instance, I've just upgraded phones and you have to restart your FNB app. Yeah. And it asks for the PIN on your card. And you always feel a bit weird putting it in. You think, is this page for real? Maybe I should have read those initial phishing warnings. But, nothing like that's ever happened to me besides my cards being stolen and used.
Yeah, I'm always a little bit worried also when I get a proof of payment and I'm like, I didn't make that payment. You ever had that happen?
Yeah, sometimes.
And sometimes it's just completely fake. It's like made up. And you only realize because it looks like it's official communication from the bank, but it really isn't?
Oh, like sometimes you'll receive a message while you're looking at your phone, but it's an ad at the bottom.
Correct.
Saying 30,000 rand has been deposited into your account.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like, this I've is too that. Good to be true.
Yeah. Right.
Sia is here. He made it. What happened to you? What a way to start your Monday. What happened?
Oh, I'm Mondaying like a boss, aren't I? Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Morning, dude.
So when did this incident of car breaking down happen for you?
Well, firstly, I just feel like this is my way of adulting because I always say I have no idea what's happening underneath my bonnet.
Gugu is very upset with you that you didn't message him so he could have maybe helped you because he's the car guy.
Okay.
So from now on, take that as being...
Well, thank
chastised
you, Google.
By Google.
But no.
Chastisement.
It was all sorted and fine. It's a fan belt thing and somehow...
So what happened? Start at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, my cousin did warn me about this ages ago that I needed to get my fan belt sorted. But I'm one
was
of those people...
flipping and making a noise.
Feels like,
fan
belt
like,
goes. It's not
that's
good.
Fine. I'll sort it out when I sort it out. And also I'm kind of schnorrer with it because I'm just about to get to my next service. So I was like, I'll sort it out then.
You don't play with the fan belt.
Meanwhile, doesn't happen like that. So I heard the little sound. I heard what I think is the snap. Had to then call my insurance and the tow truck company. They're trying to...
Oh, my God. And this is all first thing on a Monday morning?
More than that, they...
Were you driving?
Yeah, I was on my way here in the morning. And bless their hearts, they were really efficient. They were a really great team, but I'm not the technical person to speak to. It's like, yeah, and then the bolts and the nuts and the what. I was like, dude.
How's your engine? Because if the fan belt goes, normally the engine goes.
So then they were telling me that. Then I was starting to Google.
Yeah.
And this morning I also learned the same way you don't mess with Dr. Google, you don't mess
with Dr. Google.
Mechanic Google as well.
Should have just phoned Google. He was sitting here. He had nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly. I was since 5-ish.
I thought I could roll down to work, and then I was like, no, I shouldn't. And then,
how far were you?
Because they were going, no, I was still in Bryanston,
okay.
And they were coming from Midrand. So I thought maybe if I could risk it and come work here, that's sorted out. No, not at all. So yeah, it was a conversation of jargon, and now they're going to take the car in. Yeah, they'll sort it out. They'll figure out what's underneath the bonnet. I don't know.
So did they drop you off here?
No, I had to take an Uber.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I had to also deal with my dad telling me about all of these things with the insurance
and
the whatnot.
Who did you know? Who did you phone?
Not for me. No, I just called my insurance.
Okay.
And then, being the 12-year-old that I am, I called my parents again. I'm like, I don't know what's happening here.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, you're here. You're safe. You want to hear from Sean? Sean has something to say about
this. So, last week, Saturday, I got to the liquor shop to buy some stuff for the rugby and whatever. As I walked in, it said on the door, back in 5 minutes. I then waited and the door opened. And lo and behold, three armed robbers, they pulled me into the shop, made us lay down in the back, obviously took my wallet. The good news is, and this is something that rarely happens, is the next day I got a Facebook Messenger message to ask whether I lost my wallet. And I got absolutely everything back. None of my cards were missing. As a rule, I don't carry a credit card nor my license in the wallet. And also no cash, because I believe you don't need cash in a wallet. So there's a bit of a good news story.
Huh.
Anyway, have a good day, guys.
Well, you got away scot-free on that one, even though it must have been a horrible experience.
Oh, my goodness.
Who bought the wallet? Listen, I don't know if you guys are also in these groups on WhatsApp where you get videos of these... There was a video of a guy in Lone Hill yesterday. There was this car that stopped.
Oh, they were standing outside their
property.
These
two guys are standing in the driveway.
Of his property.
Yeah, and then this car pulls up, and a dude gets out of the car and obviously aims his gun at them.
No.
And the one dude in the driveway pulls out his gun and starts shooting. And this guy runs, and the car disappears, and no one was hurt. But
stay armed.
I wish the guy had shot that bad.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to.
I wish he had shot him too. See how scared they are, those bastards.
Yeah. So I still think the only way that you can have a fighting chance is if you have a gun. A lot of people get unhappy about this. A lot of people, but you four firearms. And yes, it's better to have a gun and not need one than to need a gun and not have one. It's always going to be my point of view. Prove me wrong.
Look, Sean was just minding his own business, going shopping.
I know, poor dude. It's horrible.
Jeez.
But these videos that go around are harrowing. There are lots of people who say, yes, Leanne, you don't have anything to worry about if someone hacks your data, because all your stories are already out there. this is from Carl. Carl says, my favorite Leanne story is the one where she took her cunt to hospital. I cried listening to that one. Carl, that was because her phone spelling corrected.
In those days.
Yeah. Corrected aunt to cunt.
Because I typed cunt a lot more often than I did aunt. And my phone learned the habit.
I wonder which one of us you call cunt when you type Leanne.
All right, very good. What else have we got going on? Sia, what do you have news-wise? What did you do this weekend? We haven't caught up with you at all.
Oh, well, Merry Gay Christmas, everybody.
Was it Gay Christmas?
Yeah, well, it was
Pride over the weekend. Did you go? You did. And dress up?
I went in the evening. No, I just met my friends for dinner and was also a Pride event.
So you didn't go to the parade?
No. I was not in a rainbow-colored Speedo.
Isn't the parade the whole point?
No, well, not for me. I would not be seen in a Pride pink feather boa. And
huge, the headdress with ostrich feathers. Yeah.
But here's why. And I also have three gay friends who share the same sentiments. It's not about Pride, actually. It's about bumping into your exes.
With
you.
Think
about it for a second.
The gay community can't be that huge, right?
No, but think about it. You are consciously putting yourself in a pool where...
The whole of Joe Gayberg. Joe Berg is there.
Joe Gayberg, yes, the whole of Joe Gayberg. Right,
but I saw on Instagram.
So that's why I didn't want to.
I saw on Instagram a lot of people who were really dressing up for this more than Halloween. Yeah.
Yes,
like, Pride is a bigger deal than Halloween. Mm-hmm. In terms of the dress-up side of things.
And especially this year was the first time they closed, they took the parade to Sandton, and they closed off.
Where was it exactly?
They closed off Rivonia Road.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it was right by Sandton City. Okay. They were walking by there. I actually don't know where it ended off, but it was a massive, massive party.
Probably in the toilets.
Or was in an alley.
Was it on the Saturday?
Yes, on Saturday.
And what about all of the rugby that was going on?
People got it. Do you think the gays care about the
rugby?
I
wanted you to say that. I wasn't going to say
it. No, the gays don't care about the rugby. We were busy with whistles and, you know.
So you didn't go to the parade, but you went for dinner, and then afterwards, what, did you go and party somewhere?
No, we actually just went. I discovered this amazing new spot, actually, which had a great party on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's called the Royale.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Where is this?
It's in just off Hyde Park and like Craig Hall side.
Oh.
But it's very Instagrammable. Mm. Like picture thick Havana.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So like their speciality is like all of these Havana Cuban inspirations.
Palm trees and that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Neon lighting inside.
Very nice.
I was telling my friend.
Is it in that little courtyard section? You have to drive into a courtyard section and there are a few restaurants.
No.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's down the road from that. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I was telling my friend, feels very Cape Town while you were
there. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was great. I think I was home by like 11:30 in any case. It was a good, fun time.
That's so early.
At least that ended up at home.
Yeah.
No. I didn't need to bump into my exes. That's what I'm saying to all of you.
All right, okay.
I didn't need to do that.
I hear you.
But they're really like...
These exes of yours sound really terrible.
Yeah, they sound like the devil himself. Yeah.
You will do anything to avoid the exes.
What? Like, how do you end relationships, dude? Like,
always badly by the sound of things.
I just ghost people because I hate confrontation. Sure. And then also, I staunchly believe more power to you if you're friends with your exes, but I don't want that.
No, sure. Fair
enough.
We
were never friends.
Yeah,
we
were together. Some people break up and move on, and they don't look back.
And then because I'm also petty, I don't want to be involved in your life afterwards as well. I don't want to.
I don't think that's petty. It's self-preservation.
It's got to be amicable, guys. You can't just like be childish about things.
Gugu says Mr. First Date.
Yeah, of course. When is your I'm good with my exes.
Your episode's this week.
My episode is on Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. What channel?
BBC, I think it is.
Mm. Right,
we've got to watch this.
You got to watch it Wednesday at 8.
Everybody make a note in your diaries now for Wednesday evening on BBC something.
Yeah, BBC Such something.
174. Yeah.
Is this guesswork?
No.
Are you guessing?
Yeah, well, we're close enough.
Like there.
Okay.
So, in any case. Of course, then I guess we can talk more in depth about this on Thursday.
Yeah.
But yeah, from the promo, we now saw the lady who you went on a date with.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of her?
And they did make it. She looked, as you said, a little exotic. Okay. So she was definitely, you know, she was more interesting than perhaps one of our local people who we might know. And you were identified by one of our listeners in a 1 second clip.
Actually, yes.
But they did. They positioned yours as being a successful date.
Yes.
Okay.
They positioned
something
some
like,
of them
and some of them are a success.
It was good.
Yeah, some are successful, and then they showed you smiling, and they showed her.
You had a very big grin on your face.
Oh, yes. Did I? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll find out on Wednesday then.
And we'll find out whether anything did happen or not. All of that's coming up.
Why am I already cringing for you? Because for you, this is the enjoyment of these shows, though.
Uh-huh.
Is you're a fly on the wall and you go, oh, why did they say that? Oh, no. Why did they bring that up? Oh, you shouldn't have done. So I'm already cringing.
And we know Gugu just makes the most socially inept statements you can make. And for a first date, I'm sure he was totally out of. He must have been out of his cage. So
if you said something like, you remind me of my grandmother, I will die.
Sia, here is some advice for you. The best gay pride is in Tel Aviv in July. Hmm? You've got to go and check it out. That's from Ruth. So there we go. We had gays who came from Pride from Mozambique, and they didn't want to check out from our Airbnb. They didn't want to check out. They had
such
a good time.
Just wanted to stay forever.
Really?
Yeah. We had gays. That's from
Mondays the Smiths, Tuesdays Sarah and Andrew, and Wednesdays the gays.
Look, the gays hatched out of disco balls this weekend. From, the Pride is usually like around, I think it was like around Melville or right in the city center.
In the parks.
Yeah, so the first time with it being in Sandton, I really felt like they fancied it up as well. I saw like a lot of expensive cars, all like decked out in
rainbow colors.
Rainbow colors, but the actual paint job or like the cover job of the cars. There were these mini floats going around. Somizi and his new husband.
Oh, were they there?
Were leading the.
Of course they were. Of course, he's like, isn't he unofficially the king of the gays at the moment? He really is.
I'm thinking of like Jeffree Star moments with these yellow Lamborghinis.
They were in, I think Sovisa was, he was in like a Mercedes Benz, but like hanging from, popping out from the rooftop.
With a feather boa. Roof. He had a feather boa, right?
I think they had like a massive rainbow flag or something.
Maybe one of those rainbow feather dusters.
We have got to get Somizi in here for an interview.
Oh, yeah, we are. And then it wasn't much of a parade per se, because one would think it has to move, right? With the gays and music, it was just like...
They stopped
and
partied.
Movement and dancing. Moving, drinking. Moving, dancing and drinking. It was just...
So it all just fabulous. Fell apart.
And by the time, I got out and was meeting everyone for dinner, it looked like... What are those little... A snow globe? When you've shaken a snow globe up.
And there's glitter everywhere.
And you just break it, though. Because people were washed up. It was now glitter mixed with sweat.
Oh, no.
Mixed with random pieces of confetti.
I know it's a stereotype, but I would have thought that the gays would be more organized. They'd have a way of keeping it tidy. Anyway, so happy Pride to all our gay brothers and sisters.
Merry gay Christmas.
We love you. You make our whole world a little bit more exciting and a little bit more colorful.
Yeah.
Good for you.
This is just Joburg Pride. There's Cape Town Pride in a few weeks.
Are you going?
No, I'm not.
Anyone going? Leanne, are you going to go? You sometimes go to Gay Pride.
Yeah, not this year in Cape Town, no.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Make sure that you have an excellent day in the company of CliffCentral.com, and we will see you later. If you missed anything, get it on the podcast. CliffCentral.com.